This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We've been mentioning a few times the major update to the Paracast site, the major upgrade to our YouTube channel. Anders is still working on both, but the YouTube channel has already undergone some changes with new artwork. So check the Paracast YouTube channel. Randall?
Yeah, that's all looking pretty good, Gene. I'm really looking forward to when it finally gets all launched up and we get the whole facelift happening. That's pretty cool. We've got another question in the question bank, actually from our same poster. And he says, on a similar note from the previous questions about the trace evidence and such, when chroniclers of Israel reported that Elijah, I guess, was taken bodily to heaven, he has underlined here, did those chronicles and readers think it was just some mental perception kind of thing, or did they think he literally was taken to another realm? And don't most Orthodox Jews and Christians think it was literal?
Well, I'll put on here my Jewish history hat and say, yeah, I think the author of that story certainly intended it to be literal. I would not see it as a UFO. It was definitely an identified flying object. That the belief of the ancient Israelites was that God, like a human king, had his chariotry around him. The 68th Psalm says that the divine chariotry is two myriads, thousands of Shinan, whatever Shinan are. The Lord is among them, Sinai in holiness. So there's absolutely no reason why one of those chariots shouldn't be detached and come and pick up Elijah. So I have no problem with understanding the story of Elijah, of Elijah's being carried off in a fiery chariot to heaven. I certainly don't believe it actually happened. Now, what I do believe happened, and what does seem to me to be a UFO, is what Ezekiel sees in his vision in the first chapter. Because there he's describing something that doesn't fit in any of the boxes we might try to stuff it into. It doesn't fit in with the imagery or the art of the ancient Near East. It doesn't fit in with traditional Israelite belief, and it doesn't fit in all that well with modern spaceships either. So that this is something I would call the genuinely unidentified, and that's coming from inside Ezekiel. And I think probably Jung is right to see in the number four that keeps cropping up there, reference to the quaternity archetype. And this is also something that I'm writing about in the book.
Ezekiel, you might have to help me out here a little bit because I don't have my Bible CD here plugged in. But doesn't he say something about it? You know, he observed a whirlwind coming towards him off from in the distance. And as it drew closer, he could see that it had it was shaped like a wheel. It had these things resembling faces on the, you know, so we might translate that in our modern times to something like maybe portals with, you know, people looking out of them, that sort of thing.
Well, but we really have to force it into that mold. I have a Bible actually right here, so we can look at Ezekiel's words. Let's see. That I looked and behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness round about it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming bronze. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the form of men, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. And I won't read the whole thing, but then he goes on to describe how they have four faces. like the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And then only after describing these creatures, I saw a wheel upon the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, they were, as it, and I'm skipping a few words, they were, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. When the living creatures went, the wheels went behind them. When the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. I don't think you're going to get a very good UFO sighting out of that.
Well, it sounds a lot like some sort of flying construction of some sort. I mean, if we look at a, you know, look at some of the drones that we have these days, we've got, you know, they got the circular, many of them have four circular propellers that are surrounded by a circular sort of protection thing. So
what do you do with the four-faced creatures?
No, this was, you know, there's maybe where some of this symbolism comes in. Perhaps back in those days, I mean, those animals could have been symbols of other tribes or nations, or we see them in hieroglyphics, for example. And storms are just storms, and they're known for their electromagnetic effects. So maybe something happened to them like happened to Calvin, you know, and Charles, where there was some EM thing that sent them into a fugue state.
Right, and then we're back with Persinger.
Right. But that seems to actually make sense.
Yeah, which still leaves, and as it leaves with Hickson and Parker, leaves open the question of why Ezekiel sees the things he sees. Why doesn't he see something different? And
right.
I mean, the standard... Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
The standard approach is to say, well, this is the iconography of the ancient Near East. But I must say, when I studied this, I couldn't find anything quite like it. I mean, you've got human-faced animals all over the place. The Egyptian Sphinx is the classic example of it. And then those winged monsters with human faces that you have on Assyrian sculptures. But human forms with animal faces are very rare. And I can't think of a single one that's like Ezekiel, a human form with four faces. And, of course, Jung would say, well, that's the quaternity, three animal faces and a human face. And I think Jung is probably closer to the truth than most of the Bible specialists.
But then again, I mean, I'm not a Bible expert, but it seems that a lot of, at least the King James Version, was created much later by people who like to tell stories, and they found the manuscripts and can pretty much trace it back now to, you know, well after the fact. So, yeah, these could be things just people dreamed up.
I doubt if that late. I mean, the King James Bible, in my experience, is really pretty good. That his translators did the best job they could. I mean, they made some mistakes, but by and large, they conveyed the Hebrew and in the New Testament the Greek very well. The problem would be in the Hebrew text, which is frequently very jumbled. And I don't know whether that's because, as the conventional scholars say, because there's a lot of rewriting going on in it as it's transmitted, or whether we've got a person who is trying to get down on paper something that he's experienced that he really doesn't understand, and like some things in our dreams that he can't quite grasp, which is a phenomenon I think we know with modern UFO sightings also, that people are grope for words to try to describe something that's beyond words.
So one more question from the question bank. Are you familiar with the Kometa report?
The
Kometa report from France?
No, I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys, we got a break for some more fun and games. We've been back with David Halperin, covering all sorts of things. I was going to start and talk about that dream article, but I think this is more fascinating because we're getting into some real fundamentals about UFOs and other paranormal events with Gene Randall and David. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find sunshine pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Raising our voices alone or together. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Fighting for victory on the battlefield and on the playing field. Seeing the world through new eyes. And the earth from miles above. Redefining beauty, brains, and what it really means to be queen. Making ourselves heard on stage and on screen. Showing the way in Silicon Valley. And showing up for others wherever help is needed most. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have David Halperin, UFO investigator, religious scholar, man about town who, no, I was going to do something else, from an old pulp novel. Who learn in the Orient the powers to cloud men's minds so they cannot see him. That's Lamont Cranston.
I love those old radio shows.
Did you ever listen to those things, David? Certainly they came up.
I'm afraid I didn't. I did not.
You did not?
I did not listen to those shows.
Ah.
They used to play them here late at night on AM radio, and I absolutely loved them.
I was probably after my bedtime.
I was transported back in time to, I don't know when they were, the 40s, Gene?
They were 30s and 40s, and The Shadow starts from the early 30s. And I'll give a very brief description here because I don't want to take away from David's time. A lot of The Shadow novels published by Street and Smith were written under an assumed name by Walter B. Gibson, a magician and writer, who was a very regular guest on the Long John Neville radio show. He wrote over 300 Shadow novels. Of course, Orson Welles was one of the actors who played the Shadow on radio, and in a movie from, I think, 1994, Alec Baldwin played Lamont Cranston and the Shadow. Let's go on with other stuff. Randall.
Right, yeah, we were just touching on the question from the question bank about the Cometa Report, which was, I think it was originally called UFOs in Defense and published in France. It includes a whole bunch of cases there that they went into in quite some detail. I guess the inference of the question is, you know, are those types of reports all as easily explained as purely mental phenomena as the rest? But I guess if you're not familiar with the report, then that would be kind of tough to answer.
It would be.
Okay. That was a quick answer?
That was a quick one, yeah.
There are things that I have not considered, which is certainly true. Which is certainly true.
Well, what that do you think, Gene? You're familiar with the Cometa Report, right? You can download the various PDFs and read through them. And so you get a pretty good idea about what they're getting at there. I suppose that if you're dealing with it from a national defense perspective, then we're back to that sort of, if you see everything as a nail, then you're, was it inclined to hit it with a hammer, right? So
if your only tool is a hammer, you see everything as a nail.
Right. Okay. So I had it backwards, but but essentially, I guess if you're looking at it from a Defense Department perspective, then you're going to be looking at them as alien craft that have the potential to cause a security problem.
And certainly they never have. We know that after 70 years.
Or so some people say. I mean, there's others who would say, okay, well, you know, we've got the UFOs and nukes people who say, well, they've, I guess if we were to take your perspective, we had a number of people who've had these experiences near nuclear facilities, I mean, nuclear weapons facilities, missile bases, and so on. And they've been pursued by our military. So if actual aliens aren't posing a security threat, maybe it's the perception?
Conceivably, but there seems to be no reason to think the aliens are. I mean, in her book, what is it, came out about 8-10 years ago, Leslie Kane says that we need to watch out, that UFOs are a hazard to air travel, which sounds plausible enough, but it is striking. If these things have been flying around for 70 years, there have never been an accident.
Then again, I suppose we cite back to a number of crashes that are connected directly with UFO reports, specifically military ones. I mean, you know, not the least of which would be the Mantell case type of thing.
Which I think has been pretty convincingly explained.
Yeah, reasonably well, so. But Stanton Friedman, eminent ufologist, he would say, well, yeah, he was too good a pilot to think it was just a big balloon he was chasing after.
Really? My sense is that nobody knew about those Skyhook balloons back then. That, strictly speaking, it was an unidentified flying object, that very few people were aware of their existence.
Right. So, you know, that's what we're left with, is that on one hand we say, well, he should have been a good enough pilot to realize what was going on. He wouldn't normally have crashed his airplane. But I guess accidents happen. But then other people have cited a whole number of other incidents as well. And the one that really gets me, okay, if we have to really look at it, at a case, One that I thought was fairly easily written off at first was the 52 Washington, D.C. case, because there they did identify some temperature inversions, and they did determine that at least one of the radar returns was off something that was conventional. I believe it was something, a barge or a boat in the river. However, there was so much other stuff involved with that, people seeing the lights, two separate radar stations tracking them, and in one instance, they had radar tracking, vector a jet to intercept these objects, and the pilot saw the objects at the same time as the radar stations were tracking the plane, and when they came into visual view, the pilot asked what he should do and whether or not he should try firing upon them, and nobody knew what to do. So they surrounded his plane, clearly saw them while his plane and these objects were being tracked on radar, and then they just streaked off into the distance. Now, was everybody just having a hallucination? The radar operators, the people watching on the ground, the pilot? That just doesn't seem reasonable.
No, I would agree with you that I think that where you've got the radar, then a psychological explanation does not work that well.
You know, I could see where, say, where you only have the radar return and no visual. Then you might wonder, or if you have the visual and no radar, but in a case where you've got both, and apparently there was quite a number of these cases. Ruppelt goes into that in his one of his classic books, The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects. He visited air bases where commanders of those bases had had their jets scrambled after them a number of times. He opens his book with a case of a UFO being intercepted in daylight, closing in on it, and actually firing upon the thing.
You've got a really good question for me, which I can't answer. But I'm going to be very unfair, and I'm going to flip it around and ask you, what do we do with the cases where there are radar returns, but nobody sees anything, or where people see things and they're not detected on radar?
That's good. I suppose you could say, well, maybe they have radar cloaking and visual cloaking, so they can manipulate that at will. They can make their craft look like whatever they want us to think they want us to look at. They can make it invisible to our radar, or they can make it available, depending on how they want to manipulate our perception of them.
At which point the hypothesis becomes a bit too protean. It changes shape too much.
But that's what makes it interesting.
Mine does too.
Hey, guys, we got a break. Let's persist with this in our next segment with David Jean and Randall. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Residents along the South Atlantic coast are being told to prepare now for the likelihood they'll be facing a major hurricane in about 5 days. Tropical storm Florence is expected to become a hurricane later today and will gain strength as it heads towards the southeast U.S. Heavy rains take lives in Texas. That story from USA Radio's John Clemens.
14 inches of rain fell in Corsicana, Texas since Friday, but the flash floods proved deadly in Fort Worth, claiming three lives. A mother who was operating her car with her two-year-old daughter inside was swept off the road by the wake from passing vehicles. Authorities also found the body of a man in his submerged vehicle around 2:30 Saturday afternoon.
Steelworkers nationwide are prepping for a possible strike against U.S. Steel. If they pull the trigger on that, it would be the first since 1986. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO33 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO33 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO33 to 350350.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book Is From the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We were just talking about that connection again, where if we are dealing with an alien intelligence with advanced technology, we could have, as you know, an overlapping set of circumstances on our Venn diagram here, where it, you know, in a number of cases it is purely mental. In other cases, there is an actual physical craft or something that is seen that it corresponds to an objective reality. And then there's all of this deception that could be taking place because they're capable of doing that.
Well, should we think of as a case, the famous Father Gill case? I mean, from Papua New Guinea in June of 1959. I mean, this is famous in the literature because we have what seems to be an unimpeachable witness, an Anglican missionary in Papua. His account of the sighting was undersigned by something like 20 out of 35 of the Papuans in his flock. And he describes the close-up observation of discs with human beings. He has no doubt they were human beings walking around on their decks. I say he has no doubt they were human beings, even though they're luminous. And at times he thinks of them as angels. They're certainly not the conventional Whitley Strieber grays. So what exactly is he seeing? Now, Martin Kottmeyer, who was one of the ufologists, and I would say I call him a ufologist, even though he's a skeptic, whom I most respect, has examined a map of the objects that Gill saw and found that they correspond pretty closely to bright stars and planets. And to say that they're stars and planets would explain why they seem to appear and disappear as the clouds thicken and disperse. And yet, what Gill and the Papuans see is not stars and planets. They see disks with men walking around on top of them. So I would have to say, yes, they are seeing the heavenly bodies, which are triggering religious vision, and that the two explanations have to function together.
But I guess that depends on, these things would have to be pretty close in order for someone to actually see people on them. I mean, otherwise, we're just sort of imagining it, filling it in. All we're talking about is a speck of light off in the distance that looks like, well, there's something moving around on it. Well, okay, maybe that's a star or a planet, and you're just filling in the rest. But if the thing takes up an appreciable amount of degrees in arc minutes across the sky, say it's as big as a plate held at arm's length or something, and you can see these beings clearly walking around, then you're dealing with something that cannot possibly be a star or planet, regardless of what position in the sky it is.
And so then, more than the sun, the Fatima could have fallen.
Well, we've provided a plausible explanation, technological one for that. In the case of this particular New Guinea case, well, perhaps if we're talking about real aliens, that the craft itself and the people were not really there. They were projections, some of some type that they had the technology to do, maybe some sort of holographic projection, to display in a theatrical sense a vision for these people, and then to later see how it unfolds. How do these people react, and so on. There's no reason to believe. In other words, our assumptions at the beginning are that the beings were human, that they were walking around on the craft. But maybe the craft was simply behind the entire facade and making the people believe that what they were seeing was this particular presentation.
And I wonder if a third party listening to us would wonder which is the crazier hypothesis, that or mine, that people can see stars and planets which appear to them as disks with human beings walking around on top of them.
Right. Well, again, that depends on how many arc minutes you're talking about this thing covering the sky is. If it's the size of looking at, say, an automobile at the end of your driveway, it's not going to be a star. It doesn't matter if Venus happens to also be off in the distance at the end of your driveway, you're going to be able to tell the difference between the two pretty readily.
Unless the star is the trigger for something that comes from inside.
Sure. Once again, but how many other people also saw this? That's, to have that many people have the same sort of hallucination, essentially, is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That would be really remarkable.
It would be very remarkable.
But then again,
I think that's what UFOs are, very remarkable.
That's true. But either way, this is the kind of thing I was really hoping to get into, is that maybe there's some possible way that we can overlap these ideas so that, no, people really aren't seeing what they think they're seeing, and yet there still is an objective reality to it in some cases.
I think that's John Keel's approach, wasn't it? John Keel, sorry.
Yeah, I heard that. I was just looking for Gene's comment on that.
No, I'm letting you comment.
Oh, I'm not as familiar with Keel as you are.
Oh, okay. Well, John Keel talked about a lot of fascinating things. Sometimes I wondered whether he was totally serious about some things. Because everything to him was paranoia and demonic interactions with UFOs.
Okay. Yeah, so that wouldn't be so much like Keel then as... I don't know what it would be like, actually, more, I guess, what we've seen in some sci-fi that's taken place where, okay, here I go, I'm going to have to mention Star Trek because that's the first place I saw the idea of a cloaking device or beings that could change shape. because of technology. Or, in fact, there is one episode where a particular being with a lot of technology is able to make it look like to the local residents that they are a creature from their mythological past that's come back to claim their territory. And the crew of Starfleet, they recognize what's really going on, and they have to try and resolve this without contaminating them and ruining what's going on with the Prime Directive.
You see, this is the big thing about Star Trek, though. The Prime Directive says don't interfere. And in every episode where it involves contact with a more primitive culture, they end up interfering somehow.
Right. There's the one Who Watches the Watchers, I believe, from the Next Generation episode. And that is a really excellent portrayal of exactly that type of thing. Because the captain, Picard, ultimately has to take one of these primitive peoples onto the starship and explain that he's not God.
Sounds intriguing.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to watch it. That's one of the things I love about sci-fi, is that it deals with those kinds of issues, bigger issues, more complex issues about existence and the way that we look at the world and how our assumptions about things really reflect our reflection of our socialization and our knowledge of the time.
Well, you're not a Trekkie, are you, David?
No, I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. I had a roommate many years ago who was, and he had a portable TV, and we used to watch it at the dinner table, but that was very long time ago, and I don't think it made much impression on me.
You're not even a recovering Trekker. Actually, it's Trekker, not Trekkie. Indeed, they're bringing back Captain Picard, Patrick Stewart, in a new series, but you don't want to hear about that, do you? Huh? More to come.
Really?
With Gene and David and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap. But not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. Privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
If you talk your name, we'll hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
I was not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, He knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
You can do it if you try.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
This is Micah Hanks of the Grayling Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, that's okay. I think about people I know who didn't get on with modern stuff. You do not have a smartphone, do you, David?
No.
That might be smart.
I'm impressed. Neither do I. So... woohoo.
Ah, good. I have one fellow primitive.
In terms of primitives, our late friend Jim Mosley was the ultimate primitive. He had an electric typewriter. He did not have a computer. He had a regular phone. He did not have a cell phone of any kind. He did not even have voicemail. So there, you didn't reach him too bad.
Yeah, what is that? He used to refer to it as the dread internet.
So what then inspired you to either become a UFO investigator or to write a book about all of this? Because for me, kind of this whole sci-fi thing and UFOs tended to go really hand in hand. It was like space and adventure and what's going on, and it's a mystery. And so, how did it happen with you?
I was 12 years old, and I read Gray Barker's They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers. And I immediately recognized it as the truth. How did I recognize it? Because he talked about a reality that was so terrible that it had to be silenced. No one could speak of it. And that was the reality I knew from my house, that my mother was dying slowly, and nobody would talk about it. So when I read similar things in Gray Barker, in mythic terms, like Shaver, then I recognized this as the real truth that nobody was willing to tell me.
So the tone of the story really resonated with your personal situation in life. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's fair. Okay.
And I think, you know, that I don't think it's just me. I think that all of these stories, perhaps this is the crux of my book, that all of these stories are myths that can come sometimes from one or two people like Betty and Barney Hill, and yet resonate with thousands and eventually millions of others.
Well, there's no question that that happens. And I find that very fascinating, too, and it's one of the reasons that I'm really looking forward to having a look at your book. It's going to be right on the shelf there along with Young. So,
well, Randall, I look forward to having a debate partner, debate opponent like you. I mean, that it is very stimulating.
Yeah,
changing ideas.
Sure, it's a discussion with me, and I guess for me, I take the classic position of using it as an intellectual tool. I certainly don't mean to offend anyone, and I'm often misunderstood that way, but that's certainly not what it's about.
I know we had a debate going on for quite a while about the ETH and the Paracast forums, but like things like that, it petered out.
Let's hope this one will not.
Well, that's because you hear the same thing over and over again for so many times that after a while, you just want to find something new to stimulate your mind. And I think that's what went on with Valet. He was so tired of the extraterrestrial hypothesis and ships and nuts and bolts phenomena, and he was writing another book, and he had to figure out something different that was stimulating for him in his quite brilliant mind. So he came up with his whole dimensions hypothesis, the alternate realities and so on.
Valet is now very popular. I mean, one of the most remarkable phenomena for me in the past year or so has been the extent to which UFOs have become respectable. The New York Times is now smiling upon them. The Washington Post runs an op-ed complaining that UFOs aren't taken seriously enough. The London Review of Books has a glowing article about UFOs, and particularly about Valet. And this, to me, is a phenomenon as extraordinary as any that we've talked about so far.
Definitely. Definitely. We're in newer times. I wouldn't exactly call it disclosure, but it's certainly a new era of acceptance.
To me, it's fantastic. I mean, the New York Times used to be take the most contemptuous position on UFOs. Now last month they ran a piece on those 1952 Washington sightings, which basically said that the temperature inversions didn't explain them.
Well, they don't. I mean, they explain some of them. Like I did, when you really dig into the case and you start looking at all of the evidence, there's a lot more there than temperature inversions and lens flares.
And the New York Times, for some reason, felt it important to bring that back. Something is changing.
I can always suggest here there is a plot involved. There is the goal of gradual disclosure, at least in terms of the ETH making people accept the possibility over the years that there is definitely life out there. There's even water on the moon and Mars and lots of other planets. So we have those conditions. If it's liquid water, you know where that leads to. So it's very possible we have life out there. And that's a way of making people accept a reality if UFOs were extraterrestrial.
But then maybe, doesn't that, though, Gene, is sort of the call into question maybe an ulterior motive? I mean, the whole to the stars thing with the threat identification program turned out to be actually something for the Defense Department because they were concerned about them from a defense perspective. So making UFOs respectable kind of gives Trump his whole rationalization for creating the Space Force.
So the Space Force will be renamed Federation. No, that's not going to happen.
Which I think if I were a Trekker, I would understand.
Yes, but since you're not a Trekker, it can't possibly happen. Except I read the other day that now a prominent Democrat is in favor of a Space Force. Or maybe Trump is a sci-fi fan, and we don't know it. A cause of sci-fi fan. I don't think he ever has given an answer to UFOs. At one time, his press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was asked what he thought about UFOs. And his response, and she had no response. And when she says, I'll have to ask him. And of course, with that response, you know what happens then?
Nothing.
It never happens. David Halperin, we could have done this for another 2 hours.
It would have been a delight, Gene. And I am honored to be on this forum with you and Randall.
Well, thanks a lot. I mean, your perspective is something really, truly different.
David Halperin, tell our listeners where we can find more of all that stuff you do?
At www.davidhalperin, that's one word, davidhalperin.net. And in about a year and a half, my book, Intimate Alien, The Hidden Story of the UFO.
You know what? I can't wait. I really can't wait, and that's why we keep talking about it. We'll talk about it between now and then, David, and build up demand so the day it comes out, people will be lining up in the streets screaming, no, wanting to buy your book.
Oh, that would be lovely, wouldn't it?
You deserve it, my friend. You deserve it.
Okay.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for The Paracast. We have two official, not unofficial, real, 100% genuine, official Paracast fan clubs on Facebook, if you like Facebook. If you don't, we'll work out some other kind of solution. We're not really committed to Facebook if you don't like it. And I was mentioning after the Paracast, because that's an exclusive feature of the Paracast Plus, what this means is you get two radio shows for a modest price. One of them is the Paracast, free of all the network ads. That's why it's over 41 minutes shorter. Okay, instead of network ads, you have a couple of seconds of silence before the next segment. That's how we do it. Better quality audio. So David, he has a great landline connection. Will be even greater after this. To learn more about the Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. David Halpern, my friend, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you for having me, Gene, and we'll talk later.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.